Just a reminder, there is a sermon outline on the very last page of your worship folder if you choose to follow along with the sermon in that way. Or not last page, it's in the middle of your worship folder inside the weekly newsletter, and it's somewhere in your bulletin. Well, pilots and flight attendants certainly have a very important job, right? I mean, they keep us safe when we travel by air. And so, as you can imagine, being in an aircraft in that way, being a pilot or a flight attendant, can be a stressful time from time to time, to say the least. And some flight attendants and some pilots have said some pretty funny things, you know, to kind of maybe cut through the tension at times and kind of lighten the air, the mood in the air. And I brought a couple of them, a few of them, this morning I'd like to share. And so picture yourself, you're in an airplane, And this comes over the loudspeaker. And please feel free to leave behind any of your items in the overhead compartment. I'm having a yard sale this weekend, so yeah. Or how about this one? Please notice we are 10 minutes early, so the next time we're 2 to 3 hours late, we'll just call it even. So, and then the last one, your seat cushions can be used for flotation. In the event of an emergency water landing, please take them with our compliments. So, yeah. And anyone who has flown in a plane, maybe most of us here today, will recognize these words. First, secure your own oxygen mask. We've heard these words, right? Many times. In an emergency, we're told that the oxygen masks will drop. At least we hope they will. And for each person, from overhead, the compartments will open up, and our first instinct may be to help our children sitting next to us or grandchildren. But as a parent, that may be our first instinct, but it honestly is not the most wise thing to do. Call it spiritual hypoxia. We may feel fine and happy and euphoric while our brain and heart activity are starting to shut down and die. And so we drift from God's word. We drift from being regular in church. We drift from our walk with Jesus and become spiritually just numb. First, secure your own oxygen mask. We're certainly walking through an interesting time, to say the least, in our culture today. Some would say it's a bit of an emergency kind of time. Our plane, our life, is in turbulent airspace. The oxygen masks have dropped. Turbulence called job loss. Turbulence called loneliness and depression. Family strain, health scares, inflation, and gas prices on the rise. And a little word called war. Bumps in the air, air gusts along the way. And many seeking just normal, right? Just stability. And what do? First, secure your own oxygen mask. That's what Zechariah is telling us in our text today in Zechariah 8. Looking all about this idea of rebuilding hope in a challenging time. God longs for his kingdom to flow through us into the world around him. And that's Zechariah 8. It is a missional text that's starting to take shape where God blesses others through us. And so Zechariah gives a massive blast of gospel-saturated power in this text. So be prepared. Here they come, the oxygen masks drop from Zechariah 8 into our hearts and into our lives. And he's urging us to secure your own oxygen mask first. As he says those words, return to me and I will return to you. As we look in the text, two men, Sherezer and Regimelech, arrive in Jerusalem from Babylon. They were, you know, Jews in Babylon sent to ask Zechariah a question about the traditional Jewish fasts. You know, should they continue the fasts or not? Change or not? And so Zechariah sees this as a teachable moment. And Zechariah turns their eyes away from the past and what once was and looks ahead to the future promises, to a gospel-saturated power that is filled with hope, as we see written about in verses 3 to 5. I'll start. I'll invite you to join with me in just a moment. The picture of the oxygen masks have dropped, and this is what we breathe in today. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion, and I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the faithless city, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts shall be called the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the street of Jerusalem, each with staff in hand because of their great age. Let's join together. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. It's a time of hope. It's a time of gospel-saturated power. A litany of promises of God are scattered throughout this section. A time is coming, he's saying, where God will remember us. Things like this, the part of this litany, God himself dwells with his people. Where God is saying, I've returned to Zion and will dwell in the midst of them. God is here with us and in us through Jesus. It also says, people will live in peace. Old men and old women will once again sit in the streets on their porches with a staff in hand. And it'll be a time of shalom and peace. Exiles, the text says, will come home. God restores his people. The turbulence will be over. The text also says creation is renewed. The day is coming when God will make all things new. And lastly, fasts will turn into feasts. God will turn mourning into dancing. Sackcloth will become praise. Laments and tears will be turned to joy and hallelujahs. What oxygen, what power God has in store for us. God's protection, salvation, and his presence. And those things come to us today as a gift freely given by God through Jesus. First, secure your own oxygen mask. But then the question becomes, what if I don't? What if I don't secure my own oxygen mask? The mask may fall off over time. We stop being regular in worship. We stop being in his word. We stop worshiping. Spiritual hypoxia starts to kick in, and we become numb to the things of God. We forget its freshness and joy. Faith becomes something that we do. It becomes just a routine. And we're jolted through life through his word, the gospel comes to us and through us. And so God's word at the altar, we breathe in the spiritual oxygen of the gospel and come alive in Jesus. And then on to help others with their oxygen masks. And so the gospel, Zechariah also says, is universal. That this gospel is for all people. Zechariah 8 shows how the gospel comes through us. As the text says, let us go at once to entreat the favor of the Lord. I myself am going. Many people and nations will go and seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem. Zechariah says that God's mercy is for every tribe. It's for every people. It's for every language, every nation through Christ. It is offered to everyone. But yet, sadly, as we all know, that gospel is not believed by everyone. And so that leads to the next point. Not only is the gospel universal, God wants all to be saved. But secondly, the gospel is personal. The gospel is for you. In our pain, in our sorrow, in our trials, the gospel comes. When life is hard, as we have questions, you know, like the song, Jesus loves me, this I know. It is personal. It is for you. As Zechariah says in verse 23, let's read it together. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from among the nations of every tongue shall take hold of the robe of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. 10 people take a hold of this garment of one Judean. The gospel is personal. This verb for take a hold of, or another way of translating it is seize, often appears when action is fervent, when it is impassioned. And so we pray and we hope that those who don't know Jesus seize us, seize this word, grab a hold of what's offered at this altar, and ask about our faith in Jesus. In fact, a recent survey of 8,000 people who became Christian said that 5% of them walked into the church and stayed. Of those 8,000 who became Christians, 7% came because of the pastor. 3% came because of a program. 1% just came through a door-to-door evangelism effort. But guess how many came because of an invitation by a friend? 80%. 80% came because of a relationship, a friendship. We have an opportunity coming up with Easter. What if even half of us brought one person with them? This place would be beyond packed. Who are the people that maybe we can reach out to? Because we all know someone. We all know someone who once was a part of church and for one reason or another drifted away. Maybe that someone is within our own families. This is where it gets personal, doesn't it? Maybe it's a spouse, a child, a son or daughter, a grandchild. The gospel is universal. God wants all people to be saved. It's also personal. And lastly, the gospel is vocal. Listen to how Zechariah begins. He says, "Let us go with you, for we have heard. We have heard that God is with you." He says, saying that God dwells with you. God is with you. Do these words sound familiar? God dwells with his people. God is with us. These are the words of Christmas. These are the words of Advent. Remember, one of Jesus' names is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so with these words, as he's starting out this section, in some ways, Zechariah is pointing, at least us today, back to Isaiah 7 prophecy, where the virgin will conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. It's a word of hope. A gospel that has been spoken and heard. A God who is with us. And so Paul reminds us of this spoken word and the importance of this word when it comes to our faith formation, as he says in Romans 10. Let's read it together. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The heart of the Lutheran faith is the word, right? Not just any word, the word Jesus. It is our confession, a spoken confession, this confession of faith upon which we stand. We listen to the word of confession. And what we hear as we listen to this word, confession, is what word? Confess. Our confession is a spoken word. The gospel isn't black letters on a white piece of paper, and not simply a word or type in a book. It's written on a page, yes, but the gospel is vibrant. It is alive. It dwells within us. It has the power to save. Reminds me of a story told about another airplane kind of situation, where this plane was taking off from Kennedy Airport, and after it reached cruising altitude, the captain made an announcement over the intercom and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Welcome to Flight 293, nonstop from New York to LAX. And weather ahead is good, and we should have a smooth, uneventful flight. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy." And then the pilot all of a sudden gasped, and he said, "Oh my!" And then it just silence. Captain came back on the intercom again and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, sorry if I scared you earlier, but while I was talking, the flight attendant brought me a cup of coffee and spilled it on my lap. you should see the front of my pants. And then a passenger and coach said, well, that's nothing. He should see the back of mine. So, yeah. But isn't that what sin does? It makes a mess. It makes a mess in this culture. It makes a mess in our lives. But yet, I don't know about you, but I've never found a passage in the Bible that promised an easy life for following Jesus. In fact, just the opposite is true, isn't it? That if you follow me, there will be troubles in this world. There will be times we hit turbulence, and our life will shake left and right, up and down. Coffee will be spilled. The oxygen masks will drop as Jesus steps into our mess. And just know that that gospel, that Emmanuel, God with us, is with you. He came for you. He died for you. I love how Ray Comfort says it. He has this quote. He says, Christianity doesn't offer a smooth flight. It provides a safe landing. We know how the story ends. Our flights, our life may shake left and right, but yet the gospel breathes life into our dead places. The gospel invites you to have hope. That's what Zechariah is saying today, even in the midst of challenging times. Because one day, the seatbelt sign will turn off for good. The turbulence of this world will be long forgotten. And we will stand in the presence of God in His peace and in His joy. As Jesus reminds us to have courage, you will have troubles in this world, but take heart. I have done what? Overcome the world. That's what Jesus does for us. And so can you see the need? Can you see the turbulence in this world, the trouble? Can you hear the cries around us? Our plane, our world certainly is in turbulent airspace. But you know what we say to that? First, secure your own oxygen mask. Father, we come before you and we thank you for this gospel that is powerful, that is mighty, that when we go through challenging times, there is that oxygen mask of grace that drops down into our lives in the midst of those messes and gives us hope and life that connects us to your word, to life itself, to Jesus. This world does get messy at times, but you freely have stepped into the mess to rescue us. That's the cross and the empty tomb. It's why you came for us. Help us to stay connected to that power that's found only in you and you alone. In your name, we pray. Amen.